It's a boring line.
Right, it's a boring rant. Anyways, take us a little. Let me show you what I mean a little bit. I'm just gonna kind of comp for you a little bit. Basically, what I'm listening for is just the ends of your phrases and how I can kind of propel you into the next idea. It's less reactive and more kind of anticipating what I think he's gonna do next. If that makes any sense. You can always kind of copy a rhythmic figure that you hear a soloist hit, but what they really need is someone to kind of say, yeah, and then. So just try, just take another solo. And try to catch you. We'll see if it works.
So you're playing with?
Just you guys lay out, but for now, you and Goody lay out. Alright. 1, 2, 3. Wait, who did I skip? Shoot.
No, that's right. He comp for her, I comp for him, he comps, I was going to say, for Adam.
No, the point was that Diane is comping for you. Kind of, that would be the other person.
Right, well, I was going to say that you could do some...
She can come with me, I can help her.
Toot!
I'll do one at
a time.
I can only play one note at a time.
You can do some background lines, though, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
This would be a good one to do. Even something like...
Okay.
And again, not something that's going to sound like a counter line.
Right.
But more something that's just going to be a little background riffy figure. Like, actually, Duke Ellington's band did that. Then you have three things, which is a little too much. You have bass line plus solo plus counter line. That turns into a few. Think about a little riffy band that maybe the trombone section of a big band would improvise.
Okay.
Something like Ellington's band did that sometimes. One of them would just, they were called head arrangements. I know Mingus did this too. He was kind of famous for it. Trombone player would just go. Okay. Think about it that way.
Alright.
Okay, let's give this a shot. So, wait, who did I say was so long again?
I am.
Alright, yeah.
Adam,
there
Adam.
We go. Okay. So, you're just doing that.
And
right, yeah. I tried to explain. I'm not totally sure what
that was.
I
was actually finishing the idea.
Yeah.
I'm now speaking Muppet, but now. Yeah. Okay. Let's try this. Oh, man. That'd be such a great jazz arrangement of the Menomina song. Yep. Good copying. Good commentary on this. Anyways. Okay. Let's try this again.
Ah. All right, then.
Yeah. Okay. So, try taking one. One, two.
Thank you.
really good.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it is also, nice solos again.
So it's more rhythm, right? I mean, the rhythm, like, the
right.
topping is
it's more rhythm.
Yeah.
And it's also about not feeling like, as a chordal instrument, you have to be playing, you know, kind of grounding everybody in this is what the chord is. After you play it once, we know what it is. And after that, it's kind of, you know. That we're getting to a point where our soloists, all of you guys are being clear about the harmony in your solos. So that frees up the comping instruments a lot. That means that we don't always have to be holding it together. Oftentimes I'll go in, even for the other groups around here that I'm subbing for, go in and it's kind of this redefining of roles that ends up relaxing everybody because it's saying, okay, well, you're the comping instrument and you're playing chords everywhere, but you don't need to do that. Soloist also knows where they are, and after people realize that, it's like, oh, well, that means that I'm just icing on the cake. I'm just kind of creating phrasing at that point. I mean, you want to be clear of certain sections, like when you go to the bridge, okay, I'm going to nail that G minor there, but you don't need to kind of keep reinforcing that stuff if the soloist is being clear. And I mean, some of the best compers in jazz history are the people that played the least, because they kind of trusted the soloist to keep their spot. And so then when they did come in, it was kind of a special moment. It was always the and then one, as opposed to the just making sure we're all on the G minor all the time, and then it gets heavy that way. In fact, there's a really fascinating, it's a little off topic, but not really. There was an alternate take of Giant Steps that had Cedar Walton comping on piano instead of Tommy Flanagan, and the story with Giant Steps was that Tommy Flanagan was taken by surprise because he thought, looking at the chord changes of it, that it was a ballad, and so he didn't practice it. And Giant Steps is probably one of the most difficult tunes to improvise over. You need to like take months and really work on it. Anyways, so Tommy Flanagan's solo is kind of walking on eggshells. That. I mean, for not having played the tune up to tempo before, it's pretty good. But listening, and actually the other take with Cedar Walton kind of nails it. He had practiced the thing, and so the solo is way better, which begs the question, why did Coltrane choose the Tommy Flanagan one to release instead of the other? The other one's almost like an outtake or something, but it was later released as like a, full studio session, unedited, or something. And listening to the two side by side, it's pretty clear that Coltrane wanted the comping instrument to be a lot lighter than Cedar Walton was. And the reason being that, Cedar Walton was kind of, Giant Steps, it has a lot of harmonies in it, but Coltrane's playing them all, so, he's going. Coltrane do his thing, and then at the end of the phrase, he'll catch up with it. And so, I mean, I haven't had that opinion confirmed by anybody.
Yeah.
It's just kind of listening to the two side by side. Remember, there was a radio station that I was working for, and we kind of geeked out over this at one point. Just like, okay, we're going to play the two of them, and we're going to talk about what's different. Yeah, that was a hip radio station.
Nice.
But that's kind of what it was. It was like, okay, it was a little lighter, and the comping instrument was more listening to the soloist phrasing than just trying to nail the chord progression all the time. Which is a lot of times what you're, that's almost what you're taught to do as a comping instrument. You're the one that keeps everybody in their place. Well, yes, to a degree, but also, if the soloist got it, the soloist has got it, just let them have it.
Yeah,
and
well,
then catch up with
them. I mean, the bassist never has usually a comping instrument gone. Nobody does that during the bass solo, right? They might do
a good point, actually. Compers tend to be more delicate and sensitive around bass players than anybody else.
Either there's nobody or like Wojtek a lot of times. Just do a little bit of notes here and there. You're not going bang, bang.
Yeah,
you'd never do that.
There's a,
so it makes sense that you wouldn't do it with all the other.
There's a middle ground there, and there's definitely times when you want more comping rather than less. But just I think that most people come from the angle of doing way more than they need to, rather than way less than they need to. It's easy to say you can be more active there. It's harder to have someone say, listen to the phrasing and really pick your spots. That's a lot harder to do.
So that's
good though. You guys sound great on that. Why don't we play? Let me look at your new categorized list. That thing is crazy. There was another one that was just
anthropology, Sidewinder.
Oh, why don't we try anthropology? That's a good call.
You don't have the melody on that one, right? I don't have a clue. I haven't looked at it since last.
That's tough too. It takes some shedding.
Yeah.
Let's try it.
I'm such a dork. Hey! Sorry.
Have you guys heard the, there's a vocal version of this?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, is it John Hendricks?
You know, I heard somebody do it live.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I mean, Debbie Lane always does this. She's from Morningside, actually. She's a singer that she loves doing this one.
Some
anthropology talk. Someone related to you. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's great. So talking about singing these heads, especially the Bob heads, that's a fun. It's like karaoke at that point. Really evil karaoke.
Really evil karaoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Why
good
is
luck.
The bar closed?
Here
because it's jazz
here
karaoke.
Are the awards, right?
Oh,
why are there more
jazz.
Than four people here?
Why aren't there more than four people?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Because
well,
the fifth singer didn't show up.
Because the what singer?
The fifth singer didn't show up.
The dishwasher called out.
The dishwasher called out, right.
Here
where's my burger? Oh, he's the cook's up on
that. Here are the five syllables that
oh
we'll be singing. Just five syllables.
Right.
However.
Just five syllables.
Nice.
Yeah. Alright. Yeah, let's take it. Maybe we'll do some trading on this one too. Out here, is that okay? Yeah, and again, don't worry about all those. This is a good example. Don't worry about all the chord changes nailing them. It's more when it goes to the E flat, at the second half of the A section. So this
yeah,
is all
okay.
Just kind of nailing around A flat.
That goes
so
to the E-flat?
So
E-flat.
The first four measures of the A section are basically 1, 6, 2, 5. It's
okay.
Kind of all going around B-flat major. So if you don't nail every single one of those, it's okay. The part that you want to be really clear about is in the second line where it becomes B-flat dominant, and then it ends up going to E-flat. That's kind of where it really changes key for the first time.
The fifth bar.
Yes.
The beginning of the fifth bar.
Yeah, the fifth bar.
Yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
Just
to
the C7 into the F7 is what he's talking about.
F7 to F minus.
Yeah, the C7 into the F7 is like a dominant C instead of a C minor. Or C6, right?
Oh, okay.
It's more of a B because it's
yeah.
A C6
yeah.
Kind of going on. I guess it's the idea. You know?
Oh, wow.
To the E7. That's, I guess, different.
That's a tough one.
That's what he's talking about, I guess. I would have thought that the F minor, because you go from an F dominant.
Right. Yeah, that's
yeah.
same measure. That's,
okay,
that's
so
it.
That's right there.
Oh, okay.
That's spot.
Yeah,
right.
That's kind
of the minor spot. 7 circles.
Yeah, that. So you just really want to hear that A flat. Otherwise, I start getting nervous that people are lost.
Okay.
The A flat from the A to the A flat from the F to the F minor. Gotcha.
That's like that hinge that you need every time.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Sorry, before we start, does that mean that every time you're playing a solo, you would probably want to include the A change in there somewhere?
Roughly, yeah. Oh, that's just a nice landmark to hit.
Okay, no, that's cool.
I mean, don't force.